morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and look, we have a full house today. Yay.
Yay,
full house.
Yay.
You know, guys, I was just thinking about all of you wonderful editors and all the things you do for the magazines.
Really?
And I realized how much else you do besides work on the magazines. So let's do a little roundup here. We have Michelle Bell, editor of Supplier Global Resource Magazine here. Michelle, you're looking at me very quizzically, but I wanted to mention that you are doing a webinar this week.
I am. I'm doing one on Thursday from 2 to 3 Eastern Time, in which I will have three suppliers, the heads of three top 40 companies, talking about their predictions for 2010, how sales are going to be in the industry, how to remain competitive, and it'll be an hour long. And we'll have information on the website how people can sign up to listen.
All right, so go to asicentral.com/radio and sign up for Michelle's webinar. Andy, you're an educator of sorts yourself. I think you're speaking at every ASI show in 2010 except Dallas, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Why are you such a slacker? Why no Dallas?
I'm not a fan of Dallas.
We sent him to that rodeo last year, and he's never recovered.
Oh, that's true.
Although I do like the special rodeo bull or whatever that is at the... Eddie Dean's,
they disabled that last year.
Then they took it away last year. Because I think we broke it the year before.
There were too many incidences with people drinking and getting on the bowl.
Oh, yeah.
There was lots
Not
of
Not that any of us here were involved.
But we have some incidences
on the bowl, mechanical bowl.
We do.
No, we don't.
Andy, you are teaching a class in Orlando, five fast-changing markets.
Yeah, we're going to look at some different end-user markets and how distributors can target those markets and, you know, what sort of strategies work for those.
That's going to be on Education Day. So check out Andy Cohn in Orlando. Shake it. You can even get his autograph, right?
You can. It's the Andy Cohn Roadshow.
All right. Fantastic. Joe Haley,
yes.
Our managing editor is here.
Yes.
Joe, you are also teaching in Orlando.
Yes.
What are you going to teach?
Doing a hands-on class with Nicole Rollander.
Hands-on with Nicole Rollander.
Together we're doing it. Okay. It's hands-on how to put a product video together. So we're going to go over some tips and then get people who are there in the session to actually do their own product videos. We're going to show them how to tape it, how to download it, how to edit it real quickly, and how to upload it.
That's neat.
It's going to be a jam-packed hour. And
you're going to give secrets from the Joe Show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all your secrets.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure.
Are you really going to share all your secrets?
Not all of them. There's a few that.
You don't want to give away the store.
I have tucked inside.
Oh, okay.
My jacket pocket.
All right.
Here.
So check out Joe Haley in Orlando. Kathy Houston, you are coming to San Diego this year.
Yes, I am.
We'll keep you busy with many shenanigans.
Sure. And I'm also doing a webinar next week.
Tell us what you're doing.
Listening skills and how they're crucial to sales.
And when is that taking
That's,
place?
That's next Thursday from 2 to 3.
Next Thursday from 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you want to check out Kathy's webinar, again, go to asicentral.com/radio, and we'll have all the upcoming webinars for you to sign up for.
Right.
And with that, Joe, tell us what else is on tap for today's show.
You have it, Melinda. We want you to share your creative and not too expensive ways to thank clients at the holiday. So ring us up at 215-953-4979 or send an email to radio@asicentral.com. If we put you on the air, Melinda?
We're going to give you a $25 gift card. Visa.
Yes. All right. A new Amex study has some revealing stats on employee bonuses and gift budgets. Kathy has that story. Andy has a look at gift card trends and holiday forecasts for upscale retailers. Stay tuned to find out how to get the most out of your email marketing campaigns. And all is not lost as Michelle offers up 10 ideas for saving the company holiday party. We have that and a bunch of other stories. If we have time, I have something to rant about. But first, let's start off with the news and Andy.
Thank you, Joe. Promotional product revenues in Canada are on the rise, according to a new report from the Promotional Products Professionals of Canada. The PPPC study released yesterday shows that industry revenues in Canada have grown 7% a year over the past 2 years. This pushes total sales in Canada to nearly $4 billion a year. The owners of a recently delisted ASI supplier have been charged with theft and money laundering after allegedly scamming customers out of about $400,000. Operating under company names Iconic Concepts and Bellamax, Marco Maggiore and Lloyd Morris accepted orders for imprinted Titleist golf balls but never delivered the products. A police probe uncovered at least 88 victims. Hoping for a rebound holiday season, retailers welcomed more shoppers to their stores and websites this Black Friday weekend than the same period in 2008. However, the many sales are impacting overall results. Yes, those ever-present 20% off deals are taking a toll as consumers spent 8.5% less per person this year. Plus, ASI just announced a new upgraded version of its ESP products. ESP Web and ESP Orders will be available beginning in the first quarter of 2010. Check out the full story and promogram today. Also, make sure to check out the newest episode of The Joe Show. Joe, what's on your product menu this afternoon?
You know, Andy, since we're getting close to 2010, a lot of suppliers are sending in new products that they'd like all our viewers to see. So we'll be showcasing more new products.
Gotcha.
Thank you very much, Andy and Joe. Rich Fairfield, our publisher, has just joined us. Rich, we're going to be talking a lot about the holidays today. How'd you do on Black Friday? Were you there at the Walmart at 4 a.m.?
I saw him there.
Wow. He couldn't even answer without
at the Doylestown Walmart.
I don't think he's ever been in a Walmart.
Did you say that holiday sales were down?
They were
Yeah, because they were flat.
Yeah.
Because you led with the bad news, and you have that kind of gloomy Gus kind of.
Because he's Captain Killjoy.
I said that retailers welcomed more shoppers to their stores first this year.
And sales were up.
Sales were not up, though.
Yes, they were. They were flat. They were up by like a little fraction of
a
bar graph.
They were up a smidgen, Andy.
0.5%?
Yeah, 0.5%.
I don't even think it's
so
that
Rich,
much.
You weren't doing any door busting, is what you're saying.
You didn't.
I didn't even know what Black Friday was until I came to live in Pennsylvania. Never heard of it.
The growth in retail sales then this weekend?
I took other people to shop because guests at my house, and they wanted to buy stuff, and I took them to various local places where they bought some stuff.
Fantastic.
So, yes, I did contribute.
Talking about shopping, give us a call right now, 215-953-4979. Today's topic is, what are some creative and not too expensive ways to thank clients over the holidays? And it could be your clients or your clients' clients. If you want some creative ideas, call us now, 215-953-4979. And as Joe said, we'll give you a $25 Visa gift card if we put you on the air. We already have some callers on line two. We have Heather. Good morning, Heather.
Hi, good morning, you guys.
So, Heather, what's your question?
My question is, I'm trying to be as frugal as I can with my holiday spending. So I was wondering if you think it would be appropriate for me to invite my clients to my office holiday party that I already have planned.
Interesting. And what type of office?
Like an open house? Are you going to have an open house? I think that would be okay.
Well, I haven't nailed it down yet because I'm still trying to figure out what might be the best way.
Well, I think that's kind of a cool way for your clients to meet the employees that are serving them, not only you and the salespeople, but the people behind the scenes too.
Okay.
I think if it was an afternoon event and it was held kind of like an open house, mm-hmm. and you know the employees are there and you can invite clients and they could come in and, you know, have a drink, have a beer, and meet
right.
the people. I think that would be
fun. In a more
fun.
Casual setting instead of business.
I think if it was something at night, I think it would be different because I think it's important that the employees just have their own event where they can kind of let loose without clients being
right.
there. But I think something in the day would be okay.
Right, and they shouldn't probably let that loose on the day.
Don't get too loose.
Let that loose.
Well, good luck, Heather, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Okay, thank you.
Vinny Driscoll, one of our tech gurus here, posted this question on Facebook yesterday afternoon, and actually some distributors chimed in with some other inexpensive gift ideas for clients. Christian Eldridge, a distributor, says wine gifts are always appreciated. They'll think of you when they toast at holiday gatherings. And for non-wine drinkers, she said chocolate. You can't go wrong with chocolate, especially if you want to make a big impression in the office. It's a great gift to give to a group of people. Now, I know Rich, is you like dark chocolate.
Dark
so
chocolate.
If anyone's thinking of giving you a gift, go dark chocolate. Correct. another distributor also responded, Paula Swatzkowski, and she said some fizzy herbal bath grains of luscious bubble bath to help them relax. Ooh, see, I knew you were going to like that, Kathy. or maybe a cute gift basket of bath goodies. Anything to help them mellow out from their pre-holiday stressors.
True.
So some good inexpensive gift ideas from distributors. We're still taking your calls at 215-953-4979. And we have Christine on line one.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine. How are you doing, Christine?
Good. I have a question. I have a laundry list of people I need to buy for this holiday season. Should I select individual gifts for clients based on their personalities, or are gift cards the way to go?
Good question. Well, I think as a distributor, you want to give them something that's going to last. Would you guys agree? I mean, something you know, a logoed item that is really nice that they'll keep.
Maybe
with
you
them.
Could pair a gift card with something less inexpensive. Even think like environmentally friendly. There's a lot of items that you could get that show you're eco-conscious, but they don't have to cost a lot.
I think gift cards are definitely the quicker and easier way to go, but if you want to make an impact, I read an article where there was somebody suggested giving this gift, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. If you have a client who's into art or museums, giving them a year subscription to go to a museum to become a member mm-hmm. for a year, mm-hmm. and maybe you could couple that with maybe a product from the industry, like, for example, IMC has a line from MoMA,
right? Mm-hmm.
The Museum of Modern Art, that would be a creative gift that says you've really thought about the client.
So an experience coupled mm-hmm. with something lasting.
Yes.
But I think that the point this year is to be more selective in your gift giving rather than big expensive gifts. Really think about
the
person, like
Absolutely.
Michelle said.
Sure. All right. Well, hopefully we've given you some ideas, Christine.
Thank you.
Thanks. And we'll still take your calls at 215-953-4979. We're going to pause for a commercial from today's show sponsor, I Promote You.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we are talking about holiday gift giving. And Joe's got some interesting study information from Amex. Apparently, employers are not giving out as many bonuses, but they're still giving out plenty of client gifts. Is
Actually,
that right?
Actually, that's me.
You
think
Jill
had it, but Kathy has it.
Well, Kathy,
I have
tell
that information.
That.
Yeah, according to the American Express Open Small Business Holiday Monitor, more companies are cutting back on employee compensation and presents, but remain committed to bringing holiday cheer to clients. This is obviously because customer presence can be important marketing tools during tough economic times. So more, 47% intend to give client gifts over employee offerings. That's only 35%. One of four business owners said they'll continue to give holiday gifts to customers for these reasons, these main three reasons: to say thank you, 82%, to celebrate the season, 38%, and to stand out from the competition, 25%. And I think that's really like a big part of it, standing out from the competition and remembering your clients.
Sure.
It's also much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, giving all employees a raise is much more expensive than
True.
Giving selected clients
right.
a gift.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then those clients, in turn, when the economy gets good, they're going to build up your business so you could give your employees a bigger raise next
exactly
year.
Exactly right.
Right.
I think this goes along with this recent InBuyer study ASI recently did, in which we interviewed several hundred InBuyers on what they're investing their marketing dollars right now. And a lot of them are investing them in client programs but not employee programs.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I kind of... says, I guess right now they feel their employees are going to, you know, stick with them. It's more important to keep
right.
the clients. But I think that, you know, over the long haul, not investing in employee can hurt. So I think you need to do both.
Exactly. Well, you have to explain to your client, your employees too, what your strategy is mm-hmm. and let them in on it.
All right, Andy Cohn, more news. Now, Rich already accused you of being gloom and doom for the holidays, but I think you have
try
some,
not. I swear I'll try
You
not.
Have some good economic holiday news as well.
I do. A look at gift cards, which we've talked about, and some retail trends that retailers are looking at for the upcoming season. Overall, gift card sales are flat to last year, but they were down as much as 20% in March. So they've done really well from about March through this time in 2009, and they're this company, First Data Corporation, which is a transaction processor, came out with a study that they're looking for gift card sales to grow about 5 to 10% into next year. So gift cards is one area that companies are looking at, and one of the things that you may find that retailers are doing is attaching gift card deals to if you buy $100 worth of merchandise, we'll give you $10 gift cards.
Abercrombie.
Almost every retailer right now has that kind of deal. Lands End has it. I know I saw
Victoria's Secret has it.
Yeah. So they're really using gift cards almost as like a value add to to their customers to remain loyal to them. So that's one trend to look at. Another is upscale retailers are expecting a lift this year in the holiday season from high-income shoppers, obviously, since the stock market has done so well.
Michelle just did a cheer. What, are you happy?
Because this includes my stores, yeah. Tiffany's, you know, my ilk. Yeah,
yeah. Tiffany, Saks, and Nordstrom all say
all
that
my favorites.
They're expecting a lift because the highest-income shoppers have done well this year as far as the stock market is concerned. Obviously, it's gone up significantly, almost over 60. The S&P's up over 60% since March. So there's reason for happiness.
And the bond market is up a lot, too.
The bond market is
up a lot. So what are you buying for Donna this year, then? You're going to Tiffany's?
I will not be at Tiffany's.
You know, okay. I would say that the success of Tiffany's in particular speaks to innovation. They came out with a line of a jewelry design this year that ranges in price from $150 to $8,000, and they're keys that you wear in a necklace, and it's like the hottest thing.
Right.
But they were smart. They came out with this line, and they did it in a price range that pretty much, you know, everybody can have one, and it is like the hot ticket, and it really has saved them this year for the holiday season.
They also have the sunglasses that you buy the little charms that fit
into
the sunglasses.
You can switch it out, yeah. So I think that speaks to, you know, innovation can really help a company.
And I don't see the key hanging from your neck. Are you
I don't have it on tape, but I do have one.
Oh, you do
have
one. I will say, though, Tiffany has incredible customer service, and I took advantage of that when I was buying an engagement ring.
An engagement ring or the engagement ring?
For one of his wives.
Well, for one of my wives, yeah.
Wife number 7.
I'm good at this. But when I was first doing it, I walked into Tiffany and did all my research there.
And then you went and bought the diamond.
Yeah, and then I bought somewhere else in New York City. But, you know, because it's too expensive there. But their customer service is really top notch.
All right. Well, we talk a lot about email marketing, and Joe is going to tell us this morning how to get even more out of your email marketing efforts.
All right. What is the goal of email marketing? Anyone?
Sell
leads.
Stuff.
Leads.
Sell stuff. You know, a lot of people think it's clicks or open rates, but it's actually to make sales. But are companies successful, and how could one tell? The answer is testing campaigns, including all the components from subject line to body copy to a call to action, is the important thing to do to see if your email campaigns are actually effective. However, only 63% of companies out there are doing this. And according to this article that we'll post online from the Manage Smarter, they say that it's really important to have a company versed in testing email campaigns to actually do the testing for you. And they give an example of a retail outlet that had an online store. They had two different campaigns go out. One offered 15% off a single purchase, and the other email campaign offered free shipping. Although the 15% did better with the click rates, when they got to the very end, the one that offered the free shipping did more sales. So and the reason was is that when you got there, the 15% off wasn't enough to actually afford the shipping. It was easier to go to the actual stores, brick and mortar. Hmm. So they say you have to test your campaigns. Then the other thing that they don't say in the article is that if you really want to learn more about email marketing, go to the ASI show in Orlando. And on January 3rd at 9:45, we have a session, Email Marketing, 10 Steps to Creating Successful Marketing Campaigns, which is a class I've sat in on. I think Andy has sat in on that.
Yeah, that's taught by Don Menning, one of our head directors of marketing here, and one of our most highly rated classes in the marketing segment, actually.
Yeah, so, you know, this article, which we're posting, and what Don will do, hopefully will get you better, not click rates, but actually converting those email campaigns into sales.
Well, thanks, Joe.
Testing.
Well, we're talking about being thrifty during the holidays, and Michelle has some tips today for saving money during the company holiday party. Michelle, I'm guessing cash bar is not one of them.
We're not going to talk about a cash bar today.
No.
I don't want to talk about that again
silliness.
After last
week. That's too upsetting.
That is silliness.
But, you know, with unemployment high and the economy moving, you know, kind of at a glacial pace, a little bit better, though, as Rich glares at me. Some people
glacial.
Are...
He's actually laughing at you.
The word party has become kind of raised a red flag. But there are some ways to do a holiday party, which, you know, experts say, and you guys all know, is important for, as far as employee morale.
Karaoke
is one of them, actually. Karaoke,
oh, really?
It is one of them. I'll just go through a couple, and we'll post the rest on our website at asicentral.com/radio.
All right.
One is to let employees share in the cost. Now, before everybody gives me a cringy look.
Yeah, we're like,
this
what?
Means,
is this cash bar again?
No, it's not a cash bar.
Are we going to go down that road
it's
one more
a
time?
It's not a cash bar. It would mean the organization would pay for the party, but if somebody wants to bring a spouse or a guest, the employee would cover that cost. Mm-hmm. So the employees would obviously, you know, would be able to come for free, but if they want to bring guests. Typically, employees let you bring one person, but you know, in these times, I don't think a lot of people would mind paying for, you know, a spouse or someone to come along.
I don't think guests are even necessary at company.
No,
parties.
I don't either.
Because you know what, they don't know anyone. It's kind of awkward, and then the person feels like they have to make sure their spouse has a good time, and they don't mingle.
Yeah,
with
I
their
don't
coworkers.
Think guests are necessary.
Would you pay for your spouse to come to a holiday party?
Well, no, I just said they're not necessary.
I wouldn't. No, not a chance.
Yeah. She's never come to a holiday party, has she?
She lives far
she
away.
She lives in New York. No, I've brought Mark to holiday parties, and he's had a good time. But I'm just, in general, I think that people won't be that disappointed.
Yeah,
right.
Steve always has a good time, but I don't think he'll really miss
it. Right. Some people don't even like their spouses.
He'll just sit home and drink the wine.
Another suggestion, which Melinda mentioned, that we did here at ASI to great success, to rent a karaoke machine, which is not a lot of money, and it can really spice up any party and, you know, won't cost a lot of money. And it'll get everybody involved.
That was a big hit last year.
A total hit. That was one of
the
best
Rich
events
Fairfield
we ever had.
Was a headliner.
Yes.
You sang
and
Robert
you were
Palmer.
One of his backup dancers.
I was the Robert Palmer girl. We didn't win the trophy, though.
It's so sad.
It's very sad.
And
that
I really think we should have, actually.
But it was rigged.
It was a huge hit, and you're right, it's not that expensive.
Nope, and the last one that they suggest is a potluck dinner. And this, you could couch it in the way that it could be like a contest. Everybody brings their favorite meal. It would cut right. down on the cost of catering and food. You could still have alcohol for those mm-hmm. who like to drink. Yes, as Andy looks at me. But and that... That way you could get everybody in the company involved, and they could show off their favorite recipes
right.
and what they like to cook.
Well, we do that here
I
with
like
desserts.
We
Isn't
do.
There like a dessert contest?
We had a bake-off.
Yeah, a bake-off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We do. So there's some other great examples, things that will keep costs down but allow people to have a great time. And I'm going to post those on our website.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Another holiday goodie. So Google is offering free Wi-Fi apparently at some airports.
That's
is that right.
right yep. For the rest of the year, Google's footing the bill for your Wi-Fi at 47 of the nation's airports.
Omaha? I'm going to Omaha next weekend. Is that on there?
I don't know. The list includes Miami and Orlando. Mm. And
they don't
smaller,
have this sort of technology in Omaha.
But smaller airports such as Montana's Billings and Bozeman. This is one of their holiday gifts to their users. And also they're hoping that when you connect, you'll take the opportunity to try some of the latest Google products. And they're also thinking charity-related because the company is running a charity campaign to raise money for three nonprofit groups, Engineers Without Borders, One Economy Corporation, and Climate Savers Computing Initiative. So when the Google Wi-Fi users first log on, the landing page will offer them the option of donating to the organizations, which I think is really cool. And Google will also match donations of up to $250,000 per airport.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a pretty hefty initiative.
Wow.
Well, there you have it.
When
Happy holidays from Google.
Happy holidays. It's now
through
the end of
you can go
year.
To the airport today.
Yep. Let's all go
in
to
Bozeman.
Philadelphia Airport.
I'm going to go to Montana.
All right.
They're smart little marketers over there at Google,
yeah, they are,
I think.
Definitely.
That's pretty smart
definitely.
To do.
Smart They're very innovative.
Marketers. They are smart little
That's
marketers.
It's not such a little place.
Tucked away in Silicon Valley, you know.
Smart little marketer.
Good little Google.
So nice.
All right. Well, now Andy is going to tell us how working with your friends can hurt you.
This is actually about... buying from your friends and use you know having friends as sort of customers.
Oh, so you can be friends with people in the office.
You can do whatever you want.
Thank
if you. If you prefer, but this report says that questions whether companies should buy from friends, whether people should use friends as either suppliers or sell to friends, and mm-hmm. it says that unfortunately. When dealing with friends as customers, both sides tend to overlook quality and price issues, and it's harder to raise prices on friends. But also service can lag because one side knows that the other isn't most likely to you know, lose loyalty as a friend. So service can lag, and it can raise all sorts of issues that both sides may or may not want to bring up. And in the end, both sides often end up sacrificing. So it's something to watch. The tip that they have here is, for the most part, you know, if any problems arise, to nip it in the bud and be honest. You know, you have to do what's necessary for your own business. And if that means cutting off ties with a friend, then
I think you should get
by
all
means
open
cut off
in
ties
the front
with friends
before you even begin a business relationship with your friend. Get all that open in the front. I'm going to raise prices.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to treat you just like any other client.
I've heard a lot of people mm-hmm. in the industry talk about that, though, that it is a problem.
Yeah, in our industry, I mean, it's a close-knit industry. I'm sure a lot of people sell to mm-hmm. friends.
I also think it depends if it's you're buying services or goods or hard goods.
Right.
Because with a service, the service itself mm-hmm. is part of the relationship. where the goods, you know, the more that it's just a commodity, then, you know, it's easier to keep it a little bit more distant.
Mm-hmm. It is, but you still have pricing issues, and a friend might want a price break. Or
you know. No, I agree. I just think that when it comes to a service, you really can't negotiate too hard on the service, because then the service is different.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Kath. Now, here's something that Joe should pay attention to, and it's why you shouldn't stifle your anger at work. And we know he doesn't do that because he's got his rants every week. But Michelle's going to tell us more compelling reasons why.
This is why Joe and I are going to be the ones to live the longest, because we don't hold our anger.
We have to bury everyone.
This study, though, my one problem with this study is that it only deals with men. So Melinda, Kathy, and I are going to be out of the loop on this one. But
we're manly.
This ought to be good.
But Kathy and I aren't angry. Are you angry?
No.
Well, because you're stifling.
You're stifling.
No, I'm not angry.
We're really not. We really don't give it much thought. A
study by the Stress Research Institute of Stockholm says that men who bottle up their anger at being unfairly treated at work are up to 5 times more likely to suffer a heart attack and even die from one.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
They took into account socioeconomic factors, risk behaviors, job strain, biological risks at the baseline, and there was a close relationship between covert coping skills, so keeping it, you know, things bottled up and not expressing them, and people who had incidents of, wait for it, myocardial infarction and cardiac death.
I'm sorry?
That's heart attack. Infarction. Yeah. So, I watch ER.
So the steps that they say are to let it out, not so much through yelling, but if you have an issue, talk about it right away with the person you have an issue with, and to protest directly if you have a problem.
Don't you think that's good advice for life?
I do. I advocate protesting directly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not just business related. Don't bottle up your feelings at all.
As well. Right. Well, we're going to let Joe let it all out in just a minute. But first of all, he's going to tell us 10 pitfalls of pitiful meetings and how to avoid them. This is a topic that Colin Powell gave us a lot of advice on a few weeks ago.
The reason meetings are an important part of business. Everyone has them. Everyone attends them. To have a good meeting, planning is really the key. And this comes from an author, Kimberly Douglas, and she wrote a book called The Firefly Effect, Building Teams That Capture Creativity and Catapult Results. So, too often meetings go nowhere. What can you do? I'll give you a few things here. Problem, there's no objective stated. You know, why are we having the meeting? So in the beginning, make sure that you know why, if you're holding the meeting, why you're actually having the meeting. Then the problem is no agenda. Sometimes you go to a meeting and it's a free-for-all. No one knows what, you know, to talk about in what order. So create an agenda, okay, what the meeting is going to have. Problem, why am I here? Some people don't know why they're here. Are they a decider? Are they there to give their opinions? Are they there to agree? Whatever it is, if someone's being invited to a meeting, they should know why they are there. And when will it end? Sometimes.
When will it end, for the love of God? When will it end?
When will it end?
Sometimes there is no end time on a meeting request. So it's important so that if Kathy knows she's got to be in a meeting from 2:30 to 3:30, she can block out that time. And it should end at 3:30. And one of the other problems is conversation hogs. So some people like to hear themselves talk or have a lot of opinions. If that's a problem, you need to limit them, make sure that everyone has an opportunity to be heard. And there's other tips here that we'll post on the website, but those were a few of them. So plan better, make sure everyone knows why they're there, make sure there's an end in sight.
You know what? I love Tom No from Keyback. What they do at their company, they when they have meetings, like big company meetings, they remove the chairs from the conference room. So they have to stand because he's like, you'd be amazed how people speed up.
So much quicker.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Rich, how do you keep a meeting on target?
Well, I do some of the things that Joe had said, you know, where definitely I really try to have them start and end on time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't let people veer off. I mean,
sometimes.
Well. You know. But, I mean, he's trying to keep things up.
Yeah, I mean, I also took one at the Center of Creative Leadership. I took a class there, and it's interesting because a typical meeting, about if, say, you have a 12-person meeting, maybe 6 people will do all the talking. If the leader of the meeting doesn't ask questions to the other 6, they will never say anything at all. Mm-hmm. And if you're leading it, you would think that they agree, but if you actually ask them, often they disagree.
They might just don't say something totally different.
They will, and they normally are not agreeing, which they are not. They're more like the people bottling things up,
right.
So they don't want to present an opinion that's not where the conversation is going. But if you ask them, then they will do it. So it's really important to notice who's speaking, and then who's not speaking is even more
call
important.
Call on them.
Yeah, and call on them.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I also think it's important at the end of a meeting to have a purpose, like you talked about, Joe. You know, have an agenda and a goal for a meeting, but then at the end, people should walk away with either, you know, action items or things that need to happen afterwards, so that they leave knowing that something actually happened. Yeah, exactly.
That's one of the things, Andy. Too often, people walk away; they don't know what are we supposed to do now. Right. There should be a simple plan of action after the meeting's done. You know,
there you go.
You can get more tips for that on our website. And now, Joe, we promise we're going to let you let it all out. So,
oh my God,
let it all out.
All right, soccer season just ended for me, and I have to admit that out of the three teams I coached, not one parent.
Does this mean we don't have to hear about soccer anymore?
Let him
out.
Is one of those parents, as I make air quotes, you know, the obnoxious kind like Andy that runs its mouth about everything, coaching, referees, other players, etc. I don't put up with it. I lay down the law early and everyone falls in line. However, my younger son's team, coached by my older brother, has a dad who starts shouting from the opening minute until the last whistle ends the game. He is constantly shouting directions, yelling for players to shoot and pass and just kick it. As I sat there last week's game, I was squirming in my seat, growing more and more agitated. My wife sensed it was coming and she kept telling me to just let it go, but I couldn't hold in much longer. After he screamed at a player to shoot the ball from about 50 yards out, I finally yelled at him to shut up and that the player wouldn't even reach the goal from where he was. Instant silence. The remainder of the first half, this dad said nothing, and at halftime, he decided to do the smart thing and move away from me. So, no matter what sport your child or grandchildren play, when you go to those games, keep your mouth shut. It's okay to cheer, and there are appropriate things to say, but leave the game to them, because what you don't know is you're not helping them, and you're only embarrassing them. And if you want to run your mouth, stay away from me and Melinda.
It's a good thing you didn't keep it bottled up, because you would have had a myocardial
infarction. Or take out his BB gun and shoot him.
Well, that's a good idea.
There's a way to deal with these people.
No, actually, it was a good season. I did not have one incident with any of the parents on my teams. And sometimes, you know, they get a little agitated, something happens, and you just, you know, have to, hey, give them a little hey, and they'll calm down. But I didn't have one incident. But my youngest son's team, I call my...
Oh my God.
And with that, thanks for tuning in today. We are all out of time. Thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You, and thanks to all of our listeners. Check back with us same time next week. Have a great week.